Tonight, we have the second time that he's come to speak to us, Pastor Phil Holmes from, Hillcrest Church in the Grand Rapids area. And I see that when he comes, he brings his family and a few congregation members. So if I ever speak at another church, I expect some of you to be there too. But anyway, we are so happy that you're here again, Pastor Phil. We should have had you before this, but we're glad you're here right now. So come and share God's message with us.
Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Amen. Well, I bring you greetings from the Hillcrest Community Church there in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I am very elated and very thankful that you have considered to invite us to come and fellowship with you again. I give honor to my friend Carl. Amen. And his family, and to all of the congregations that's here, the people that's here, and you that love the Lord, we bring greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to thank God for my wife, amen, and of 53 years, something like that, amen. And 8 children, 4 boys and 4 girls. My youngest daughter is here, amen, and her 2 children, praise God. And then I thank God for Mother Nancy. She is the oldest member at our church, amen. She's been at the church before I even took over the pastorship there. She's been there 55 years at the same location, amen. And then I praise God for our sister Tish, was a very faithful member, praise the Lord. And my right hand, I got a left hand and a right hand. You know, you can't have 2 right hands, so amen. But my daughter and Sister Tish, they really see after the ministry to make sure that we are functioning correctly. And then, of course, I have a very dedicated brother, amen, Brother Angel, praise the Lord. And I thank God for him, amen, being with us this evening as well. He came last time we came as also, so he was with us the last time he came. God bless your hearts. Amen. This is a wonderful occasion and a wonderful opportunity to just share the love of God with God's people. The thing is that, let me just get this out of the way real quick. I'm going to talk about, matter of fact, help me. We have a thing in our church that we say, you know, help me preach. So you're going to help me preach. So you're going to turn to your neighbor and you're going to say to your neighbor, neighbor, how is your walk? All right. Look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor,
more specifically,
how is your faith walk? Amen. So that's what I'm going to talk about. Coming from Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. When you think of life, many times, you know, we'll hear that old cliche, how is life treating you? How is life treating you? Well, technically, life is treating all of us good. Because Jesus says that he is the life and the way and the truth. But from the other aspect of life, there are challenges and there are problems, situations and circumstances. Some of the problems are financial. Some of them are emotional. Some of them are, excuse me, I'm sorry. Some of them are people. Amen. We have to deal with each other. And in dealing with each other, it generates even more problems. People problems. And sometimes those people problems have a tendency, or the various problems that we encounter in life has either is going to build our faith, or is going to cause us not to operate in faith. It's like the people that we sit next to in church, the people that we work with on the job, the people that we meet in the grocery stores, the people that we encounter with, you know, wherever we go and so forth on vacation or whatever the case is, the people that we encounter with either is going to be kind or be obnoxious. Have you felt so good in the day and you felt like, wow, I'm just going to speak to everybody and I'm going to smile and I'm going to say, how you doing? And they don't say nothing. And then quickly you want to say, wow, I wonder what side of the bed they got up on. Just little things like that can, and for some people, do alter their walk. Alter their behavior too. Oh, you can't speak to me? Well, you know. So in life, there's all kinds of situations and circumstances that we find ourselves in engaged in or encountering. And whether we're school age and or college age or coming into senior life or amen, whatever the case is, we're going to find ourselves experiencing something that will challenge our faith as we live. How we know how to progress, to move faithfully, to move progressively in faith through life. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, bear with me. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe, to the Jews first and also to the Greek. Verse 17 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greek. And then verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith is not something that you can really touch and put your hand on and hold on to. Faith is not something that you can turn on when you need to turn it on and then turn it off when you don't need it anymore. Faith is not you, but you have faith. Because earlier, later on in Romans, I think chapter 12, Paul says that God has given every one of us a measure of faith. So faith comes from God to us. Another place in Romans, chapter 8, chapter 10, verse 8, it says, The word is near you. In your heart and in your mouth. And that is the word faith which we preach. So if it's in our mouth and it's in our heart, then we need to speak faith. Every word that comes out of our mouth should be filled with faith. Jesus said to his disciples after he had cursed the fig tree and they saw the fig tree withered up the next day, and Jesus said to them in Mark 11:22, have faith in God, or have the faith of God, because it comes from God. Then he says, whosoever, point at yourself and say, I am.
I am.
Or whosoever. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, he shall have whatsoever he says. So how is our faith walk? How are we utilizing faith in our life? How are we taking what God has given us and developing it so that we can put our confidence in God for what God has done for us and how God has came through for us when we had nothing to do with what God has done for us, but yet he gives us faith to believe in him, because he also says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So we can go through life doing things our way, the way we think it should be done, and having the ideology that this is how it's supposed to be done, and using my philosophy to do it this way, and I'm living this way, and so forth. But if it does not contain faith, you are not pleasing, or I am not pleasing God. One passage says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more we put the word of God in our system, the more faith develops in God. Hallelujah. So how is our faith walk? How is my faith life? I, you, we walk by faith and not by sight. Putting faith into action is putting your total confidence, your complete reliance, your dependability, your trust, your assurance in God. And if things just don't go right, don't worry, because God have your back. Because as you're trusting him, he's working situations out. When you have confidence in him, he's working situations out. When you rely on him, he's working situations out. They might change a little bit, but nevertheless, God is working in our behalf. So our faith walk causes us not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm just. For in his righteousness contains the power for us to become saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, I think I said enough already.
Good start.
Okay, we're going to see how we end up. For therein is the righteousness of God. It is revealed. There's no reason for anyone to say that they don't understand or they have not received, because in what God has given us has been revealed. It's been revealed to us. So therefore, we have no excuse not to live by faith. We don't have any excuse not to walk by faith. As a matter of fact, it's important for us. It's important for us. It's important for us to put our confidence in God and not in ourselves. It's important for us to put our trust in God and not in man. Man will let us down. God will never let us down. For therein is the righteousness. Listen. The righteousness of God, or my own righteousness. Self-righteousness is doing things the way I think it should be done. The righteousness of God is doing things the right way according to God. When it comes down to God's righteousness, I really don't have anything to say about it, because he's already set the standards. Now I have to live according to the standards that he has set in order for me to maintain and obtain the righteousness of God. And he made it sure that I can have what he wants me to have to help glorify his name. In heaven, we're going to be glorifying God forever. We're practicing down here. We're practicing how to get along with people down here. We're practicing how to be righteous, to be godly, to treat and to love our neighbors down here. We're working on those problems that causes us to be divided. Working on those issues that cause us to, and I don't mean no harm, but it's out there. And there is an adversary that will allow, that is working on the prejudice of people. But by faith, thank God. Thank God by faith. How do I know that I've passed from life to death? How do I know that I've passed from life to death? I'm sorry, from death to life. Thank you, Carl. Yeah. Yes, sir. How do I know I've passed from death to life? I know because I love the brothers. Not because of the color of the skin, but because of Jesus Christ, who died in my place and gave me a right to live with him forever. So therefore, problems we have with people is, I love God. Oh, how I love you. Oh, Lord, I love you. God, I praise you and I glorify you. I magnify your name and I give you glory and honor. Oh, how precious is the Lord unto me. But then I've never seen God, but my brother that I see on a constant basis, I can't stand him. How is the righteousness of God in me? How is it that we can love someone that we've never seen and dislike the people that we see every day? Walking by faith helps us to overcome those issues in life that will challenge our faith walk. And put us where we really need to be in knowing that I am in love with God and God is in love with me. And so faith, you can't see it. You don't even know what it feels like. I don't know what it feels like. I've never touched faith physically. But faith is real because faith touches God in a real way. The woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years wanted to be delivered and set free. She went to the doctors and spent up all of the money that she had, and she had no more money, but she still had the condition. One day she got wind that Jesus was somewhere in the crowd. And she said to herself, if I could just touch the hem, I don't have to touch him personally. I don't have to touch him physically. But she was saying, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, she said, I'll be made whole. And so when she worked her way through the crowd, when she worked her way through the crowd and got to where Jesus was and she tugged on the garment, Jesus turned around and said, somebody touched me. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Praise God. Somebody touched me.
Yes. Yes.
And they said, look at the crowd. Of course people is bumping into you and touching you. He said, no. You don't understand. This was not a physical touch. This was a touch by faith.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, glory to God. I'm sorry, y'all. Hallelujah. When you think of the power that is associated with faith, how it touches God and calls him to recognize that somebody yes. touched me. He said, Jesus said, the virtue
yes. Yes.
went out.
Yes.
Yes. And the woman there said, it was I. He says, your faith mm-hmm. has made you whole. Hallelujah. When we can touch God by faith, God moves according to that faith. Because we're people of emotions. Sometimes we think if we go to God in our tears and crying and full of emotions and trying to get God and sometimes getting even angry. Oh, Lord, when are you going to come to my rescue? God is just sitting back waiting for our faith to kick in. Because our emotions is not budging him. He that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently, and I like to add on, wholeheartedly, sincerely seek him. Are we seeking the Lord? Or are we seeking him every now and then? Do we seek him when we need him the most? Or is he the every moment of the day, my appetite? I need you, God. Hunger and thirst after his righteousness. Hunger and thirst after him. Glory to his name. I want the more of God. I want the more of his presence. And matter of fact, there was one place Paul said in the book of Ephesians, praise the Lord, where he says that we might be, I think it's in the third chapter, that we might be filled with the fullness of God. Are we seeking to be filled with his fullness? Are we allowing our faith to take us to that next level in him? Ooh, I feel like jumping. Because it gives me joy to think about what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Somebody just said, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We walk by faith, not by sight. The just shall live by faith. There is the righteousness of God in faith. Faith is contained within our words. We live in a word world, a world that was framed by words. God said, let there be, and it was so. God saw what he said and saw what has become, he said it was good. Have you thought about this? Out of all of God's magnificent creation and all of the things that he created, you and I, is the highest intelligence of his creation. To where we are able to talk and say words and communicate with each other, have the ability to learn different languages, to communicate with other nationalities. That is a mighty, mighty God. And I challenge anyone that would come to me and say that God, hallelujah, how do I know that God is real? And want to question me about the realness of God. He is real. How do I know? I look at myself. Look at yourself. Because you are a wonderful, magnificent creation. Each of us is magnificent. All of us sitting in here have two hands. Some say four fingers and a thumb. Two legs. Two feet. Born in this world, couldn't walk, couldn't talk, couldn't take care of ourselves. But as that little baby grows and develops, on its own, he rises or she rises to their knees and begin to crawl After a while, they pull themselves up alongside the couch and stand. A little later on, they take that first step. A little unstable, so they might fall. But they get back up again. And then they take another step and they begin to take more steps. Then they start running. And we try to catch them because we know that they don't have their balance good and they might run into something. But we catch them and we watch them develop and grow. They start off with googa ga 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 ga. But as time goes on, they say their first word. Then they say their second word. Then they hold conversations. And by the time that they're 5 and 6 years old, they're talking so much you want them to be quiet. And then their mind begins to develop. You training up them up the way that they should go. Then they want to become rebellious. They want to challenge your authority. Then you begin to set boundaries, disciplines, and so forth. This is the magnificent creation of God. And I'm glad that I am part of it. Fearfully and wonderfully made. And I can walk by faith. All right? Walk by faith. We learn how to walk on 2 feet. But that walking is also associated with living on those 2 feet. As you allow those 2 feet to carry you here and there. He put all in all of us a brain. I'll get to the mind in a minute. But the brain is that organ, that mechanism that's in our head, probably about 3.5 pounds of oatmeal-like substance that has electrons and neutrons firing across each other, sending signals to a nerve system. I don't know, but it is said that the body has at least 12 different functioning systems within it. The nervous system is one of them. And those nerves go everywhere in our body. And it sends messages to move my arm. Sends messages to move my fingers while I'm moving my arm. I know this is not science 101 or biology or whatever the case is, but it is the work of God to help us to understand that because God created such a magnificent being, we then should not have a problem of walking by faith and trusting God. When we look at ourselves and see how wonderful we are, if God can create such a magnificent individual and then give us faith to live by, to trust him with, surely we can live together in harmony, not in violence, but we can live together in victory. Oh, thank God. The mind, I said I was going to get to the mind later. Listen, you can take your brain and you can slice it and dice it and you'll never find your mind. Amen. Amen. You'll never find your mind because your mind is not located in your brain. Your brain is a physical organ designed with a specific purpose so that the body can move and do what it does by sending signals and messages to the nervous system, to the muscles and so forth. Jesus said, through Paul, we are not to be conformed to the world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. In other words, faith, because you can't see it, touch it, handle it, has to be in our mind. You hear these words that comes out of my mouth, right? You're hearing me, right? Anybody is not hearing me, raise your hand if you're not hearing me. So, because you are hearing me, you're hearing the sound of my voice, you're hearing the words that's coming out of my mouth, and where is it going? Huh? I know we have that old cliche, in one ear and out the other. The sound of my voice and the pronunciation of these words, they are natural. But they enter in where God put on the side of our head what we call ears. What I'm saying is going into your ear. But once it gets into your ear, then where does it go? Then where it go once it gets into your ear? It goes into your mind, because we can say things like, oh, I see what you're saying. Can you really see what I'm saying? No, you hear what I'm saying. But it goes into your mind, and your mind develops understanding of what I'm saying. This is the wonder of God. So when we talk about walking by faith, it's a wonder to be able to live by faith. To walk by faith, talk by faith, have faith in God. Faith is that power of God that is able to do the impossible. Just at the speaking of our words. And the problem with that is that many of us don't even believe it. Mark 11, 24 says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Well, when you're praying, you're speaking words to God. But he continues to say, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you have received them and you shall have them. So while you're praying and you're talking to God about your situation, about the circumstances and so forth, you got to believe what you are saying, because your words that's coming out is coming out in faith, going up to God to hear us. And when I believe what I'm saying, I got to also, at the same time that I'm speaking it and receiving it and hearing it, believing it, he says, you shall have what you say by faith. I'm not trying to come with a strange doctrine. I'm not trying to come with something that to try to manipulate and so forth. But I'm coming for us to understand that when the scripture says we are to walk by faith, not by sight, our sight can so easily get us off track of our faith. What I see does not represent my faith. I have to be able to see through the situation and see God working in the situation. I have to be able to see through my problems. Have you ever? Okay, here's a little example that I like for you all to participate with me. Okay, take your hand and put it very close to your face, and tell me if you're able to see me. Go ahead, tell me if you're able to see me. Okay. Now, am I bigger? Am I larger than your hand? But if you hold your hand out like this here and look at your hand and then look at me, you'll see that you're able to see me completely overwhelming your hand. Faith helps us to look at God and see God bigger than our situations. Many times our situations, we're looking at our situations and our situation seems so big because we have it so close to us. It's touching us until it seems like it's bigger than God. But when you bypass your situation and see God through faith, you realize God is bigger than your situation. He's bigger than the circumstance. This is what causes our faith to be increased, because we're seeing God in his actual size, and he's bigger than that. It's amazing. God, who the universe cannot even contain him because he's so vast and big, bigger than the universe. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. He is so big and so vast. The universe cannot even contain him. But yet he is small enough to come into your heart and into my heart and live within us. And he gives us faith to trust that this great big God is able to do that. Hallelujah. No matter. Let's not put God on a little stand and said, that's all God is. Our faith sees him bigger than that. James said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and tests, temptations, and so forth. Count it joy. Count it joy. The difference between joy and happiness is that happiness is based on condition. You give me $1,000, I'm happy. Take $1,000 away from me, I'm sad. But joy is a state of being. No matter what you have, you are content to stay with God. All right. All right, I'm getting ready to close. And I'm going to close with this. When you put your trust in God by faith, and trouble arises, and it just seems like God is not coming to assist, your faith is yet there. Your faith do not hide when trouble comes. Your faith does not run away when hardship comes. Your faith is still there. And I'm going to share this testimony. There was a time in our life, I was working for Dwelling Place mental health department, and I was working with clients with emotional breakdowns and mental breakdowns, and I was a mental health technician, and I had worked in that capacity for over 4 years without a day off, without a holiday off. And when you're working with people consistently every day, you eventually get burned out. And so that's what happened to me. They wanted to give me my own what they call the mental treatment house, and but I turned it down because I was already burnt out. And I didn't want to continue working in that because I didn't want to start slinging mud. So I changed careers. And when I changed careers, I went to Chicago and took up semi-truck driving and began to drive semi-trucks. This has been many years ago. And as I was working at this company, driving what we call turnarounds from, we would go from Grand Rapids to Chicago, come back, bring a load, and then take a load the next day to Detroit and turn around and come back to Grand Rapids and so forth. While I was working for this company, changed jobs, I got 2 months behind in my rent. Just 2 months because of the job change. And the landlord said, if you don't give me what I need, I'm going to evict you. And I explained, you know, about my situation and so forth. And I said, I'll have your money, but, you know, I got to wait between paychecks and so forth. Well, he didn't want to wait on that. And so he began the process of eviction. And believe me, this is a true story. Sunday came around, and the Monday, the next day, was going to be the day of the eviction. So I called my boss and I says, I won't be at work tomorrow because my family is being evicted, and I'm not going to be at work while my family is being put out the street. You know, if we're going to be put out, we're going to all be put out together. So my boss asked for my landlord's phone number, and I gave it to him. He called me back and he says, Phil, come to work tomorrow. So I said, okay. I went to work. While I'm out there working, getting my tires and everything ready to be delivered to Chicago, he called me into the office, and when I got in the office, my landlord was sitting right there in the office. And my boss asked me, he says, do you owe him such and such? I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, go on back to work. So I went back to work. And the next day I went to work again. And when I got to work, he called me into the office, had me to sit down. And I sat down and he handed me a piece of paper. He says, read this. So I began to read it. He said, no, that's okay. You don't have to read it. I'll tell you what it says. In short, what that letter says is, I bought your house so that you won't be evicted. That Sunday, before I went to work, my wife and I was just driving around in the city talking about what was going to we were going to experience that next day. And she asked me, what are we going to do? And I said, I don't know. We're going to trust God. We're going to put faith in God. And that's how God worked it out. That's why I thank God for my brother Carl. Brother Carl, I thank God for you. And he didn't tell me to say this, so he don't even know what I'm going to say. But we entered into a contract. Started off good. Took over the church where I'm pastoring at now, at Hillcrest. My income was not coming in as I desired. So I had a hard time fulfilling the contract that we had entered into. And this is the type of pastor that you really have. He would talk with me and give me breaks. But you don't want to give so many breaks when you're doing business. The Bible says, in business be men. And I says, I'm sorry, I have to go back on our agreement. He didn't really want it, but he understood. And I'm thankful today, these many years later, Brother Carl, you did not hold a grudge against me. You invited me to come and speak to your congregation. And I thank God for you. That's taking faith, putting it into action with people. So I'm grateful to be here the second time. Because I believe the love of God is in my brother Carl. He has a very sincere heart and a desire for God's people to know the word of God. And I thank God for him. I thank God for you, sir. You and your family. I praise God for you. I'm through. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Amen. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and the God of our salvation will come and deliver us, walk with us through any trial, any situation, and any circumstance. Hold on. Don't quit trusting God. Don't throw in the towel. Don't ring the bell. Don't walk the walk of shame, but stay with God. Walk by faith, not by sight.